Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
I want you to lean on God and trust His promise, but He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
Thank you.
don't have jobs, but God will make a way. He's a provider. He's good. He loves you. Come on, think about what he's already done, and he's going to do it again. Come on, wave your hand and sing it on the way. I know you have your own
testimony. I've seen you do it.
Come on, sing it on the way.
In the book of Exodus, I think it's about the 19th chapter. Got to read the whole thing. It could even be part of our lesson. Remember when God had called Moses up and he talked to him and out of the mountain, and he said, "Thou shalt to the house of Jacob and the children of Israel." What he said to them was, "Yeah, you see what I did before. You see what I did unto the Egyptian and how I buried you as an eagle with the wings. I brought you unto myself. Now all I'm going to ask you to do is obey me. Hear my voice. I'm going to ask you to keep my covenant. And I'm going to make you a people like no other people." And what are you telling me? You know what? I'm going to make y'all priests. I'm going to make you holy. You're going to be a holy nation. You're not going to be like these other nations. Well, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I watched him do stuff like that. I watched him, what he did in my life. And I tell you, he'll do it again. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. You didn't have to spend your hours here today. You could have been doing other things, so I don't take it for granted. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you all. And I thank God for Pastor Bill, who is faithful in all of her ways. And we're going to ask her if she'll give us a word of prayer. And then we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. Amen. He will provide. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from verses 16 and 17. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're thanking you, Father God, for another opportunity that you have blessed us, that we can come together and learn more of your word and grow in wisdom and knowledge. Heavenly Father, we are praying for all those who've asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God, those who are listening by internet, those who have called in, Father God. We're praying for the sick and the shut in right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we're praying for Mr. Oscar, Father God, who's in intensive care, but we know you are a healer. We're praying for Minister Robinson, Father God, who has had surgery, but he's home. And we're praying for the Dortch family, Father God. Give them strength, Father God, as they go through. We're praying for our country, Father God. You know all things, for you sit high and you look low. We're praying for the leaders of this country, Father God, and all the people in high places, Father God, and the ones that are making decisions, Father God. Lord, let them be led by your spirit, Father God. And we bind up this spirit of negativity and people trying to outdo people trying to hurt others, binding up that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, bless each and every one, Father God, on this broadcast and those of their family members, Father God. We're praying for our pastor, Father God, that you will continue to use him mightily, Father God, as he teaches the word of God. Holy Spirit, have your way with him, Father God. And Lord, help us to receive the word, Father God. Be with those who are bereaved today, Father God. You said in your word, you will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's also for those that are going through. For your word tells us that we are to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. Be with those, once again, that are sick and shut in. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. So, Father God, we're standing on your word because we know you'll make a way out of no way, Father God. And, Lord, the doctors may say one thing, but you have the last say-so. So, Father God, we ask that you will bless each and every one, Father God, as we all draw closer to you. And we bind up anything and everything that try to come up against us, against our pastor, against those listening by internet and those who have called in. Because the word teaches us greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, Father God, have your way and help us to understand as our pastor teaches this lesson. Give us that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from on high that we will be the children you're calling for in these days. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And we just put ourselves in agreement with you, and we definitely agree that we're going to continue to pray for Pastor Dortch, that he be strong in a time like this. It's just sometimes you can only pray for people, especially when it's your father, your mother. Sometimes folks just can't hear. And so it's a good thing to keep him lifted up in such a time as this. Okay. We're talking about Christ abolished the law. And our foundational scripture be found in Ephesians 2:13-15, and also Colossians 2:14. And on yesterday, we left off talking about the law, how it was abolished. And so today, we're going to share some scriptures. And if we don't do it today, we'll do it this week. We're going to show you things that he had gotten, that got abolished, certain specific things of the law. And hopefully, I said we were going to do that every day, and so we're going to do that today. But right now, we're going to look at here. The reason he got rid of the old so he could do the new, if that makes sense. See, you couldn't have two laws on the book like that. That's confusion. Because in John 13:33-34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. See, it's not like how the law was added to the commandment. See, the law was added to the commandment, the old law. But the new law he gave to us, and that is we're to love like Christ loved, okay? And now going back to where we really was, because this subject is clear to me. It's taught in the scripture, yet it is one of the most debated and abused subjects in the, I want to say, in the circles of the Christian faith. Because some wants to argue because for what they're seeing, for instance, there's also grace. And grace should much more abound. Because we don't have to keep the law. Listen, brothers and sisters, God got rid of the law. If you've been born again, you don't need the law. And that's my point I want to make before we really get into this. Because the purpose of the law never saved. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the law revealed men of their sinful nature. You had to have something to gauge by. So over in Galatians 3, we'll go there first. Galatians 3, I think it's about the 24th verse. We'll go there. Well, you know what? I'll start there because I made mention of it. Then we'll back up and get some stuff. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, Galatians 3:24, the law was like those Greek tutors with which you are familiar, who escort children to ensure the children will really get to the place they set out for. But now you have arrived at your destination by faith in Christ. You are in direct relationship with God. Amen.
Amen. I hope you all get that, what she just read at the Messenger Bible. But listen, brothers and sisters, before Christ came, Moses' law served as a guardian, if you will. It was to bring us to Christ. But now that we got Christ and we're in Christ's hand, we don't need that. We don't need those guardians anymore.
Okay, now say that.
We don't need them anymore because we're in Christ's hand. Now, it's just like, once you would take your child to the school, see, you took that child to the school. That's what a schoolmaster does. I won't say they were like slaves. And they would take their child to the school. And once you got to the school, then you can go on by your business because the teacher was in control. So that's how the law was. It served a purpose like that. It was to get us to Christ. But now that you're in Christ, you know what? Let me read on down. It says, the 25th, I don't know how far I'm going to go, but I'll tell you why I stopped it. But after that, this is the 25th verse, Galatians 3. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, talking about in the Spirit. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bound nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. See, with the law, you couldn't do that. The law, you couldn't get into Christ with the law. He says, and if Christ be, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. and heirs according to the promise.
Amen, amen. From the message Bible. But now you have arrived at your destination by faith in Christ. You are in direct relationship with God. Your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe. Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, since you are Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendants, heirs according promise. Amen.
Amen. So the reason we had to be part of Abraham's faith, see, it was all predicated on faith in Christ. That's why Abraham's faith was there. It was in Christ. Listen, it was 430 years before there was a law. 430 years. Abraham lived. Didn't need no law. Follow God. Okay. It was the faith. And so the faith would lead people to Christ. Well, Abraham had faith in God, which he had faith in Christ, so he didn't need the law. Only people needed the law, the people that wasn't following God, wasn't walking with God. The last time I checked, Abraham was walking with God, big time.
All right.
And God gave him some of the promise. So go count them stars in the heavens and count the grains of seeds. And you're going to be the father of all of this. You just stay with me, son. Stay with me. Walk in my ways and my obedience. So when you're walking with God, help me, Holy Ghost, when you're walking with God, you don't need the law.
All right.
I can say that all the time. See, if you perfect, let me tell you what, when you are in Christ, brothers and sisters, Christ is going to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Amen.
So we don't need the law. We don't need that schoolmaster anymore. He did his job. The law did us. Now, got me to Christ. Hallelujah. We ought to be shouting. Everybody ought to be. That law got us to Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I hope y'all can get that like that. That law got us to Christ. Now you're in Christ's hand now. You don't need the law. Not that law, because you have a new law. See?
Come on. Say it.
So Romans, well, that's what Romans said. In Romans 3, I think it's the verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, Romans 3:20. This makes it clear, doesn't it, that whatever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others to whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everybody else. Our involvement in God's relation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complicity in every one else's sin.
Amen. That's exactly what happened, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
If you just listen with your spirit, that's exactly what happened. He says in Romans 3:20, I really want you to get that. Not one person can have God's approval by flesh. So you can't work this thing. You can't work for it. You can go to church all you want to. It ain't going to do it. You can sing as many songs and record as many songs as you want to. That's not going to get it. It's trusting in God's word. That's how you're justified. In other words, that's what makes you right in his sight.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about your preacher and other folks, but in his sight, we are made right or justified by the law, and not by the law, but by faith. See, everybody want to be justified or made right by keeping this, keeping that. That ain't on. You can keep all you want to keep. You need to bind up there.
Amen.
God, which is by faith. Did you hear that? The righteousness of God is by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To all them that believe, that's why he said being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ, man.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So, Paul said, I have not known sin, but the law, that's what he said in Romans 7, we'll go there. The pastor didn't read Romans 3, but I want to go to Romans 7 for a second, because I quoted it, but we're going to go to Romans 7. And I want you to see this for yourself. This is what the law does, brothers and sisters. He explained to you what the law does. But the law is not what you need. So when Christ abolished it, don't get mad. Don't get angry. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law, for I have not known the lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. That's what the law does for me. It tells me stuff. It exposes things. It makes things known. Go ahead, Pastor.
And what verse was that, Pastor?
Oh, that was Romans 7 and verses 7.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. From the Message Bible. But I can hear you say, if the law code was as bad as all that, it's no better than sin itself. That's clearly not true. The law code had a perfectly legitimate function. Without its clear guidelines and wrong moral behavior would be mostly guesswork. Apart from the surgical command, you shall not covet, I could have dressed covetousness up to look like a virtue and ruin my life with it. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Wow.
Did y'all hear that? If it wasn't for the law code, just stop and think about it. It would be rough here.
Yeah. Amen.
But see, it's through that law that distinguish what is truth and what is not, so that you don't get any argument. Because if it was a guideline to right and wrong,
you're
talking about your moral behavior. Yeah, that's what it was. And it's the same thing today. But people want to live by the law. And we're not to do that because he have abolished the law.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So we're no longer bound to the law, brothers and sisters. That's why he had to abolish it. That's another reason he had to abolish it. And if you're in Christ, then it's abolished for your concern. Because you've seen your sin. You know what it is to cover it. You don't even need nobody to tell you that. The law, it showed you to Christ. Now you got faith in Christ now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There were two other things I'm going to touch on. Because the law declared that the world was guilty before God. So when we read Romans 3:19, because we was already there, so that's why I said, let me go to 7 right quick and make a point. Because in Romans 3:19, I want you all to see this. It says, now we know that what things soever the law say, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So from the Message Bible, let's see. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and pollute the air. They race for the honor of sinners of the year, litter the land with heartbreak and ruin. Don't know the first thing about living with others. They never give God the time of day. This makes it clear, doesn't it? Ever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others, but to us to whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everyone else. Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to take my time and say this because there's some things that need to be said. Listen, brothers and sisters, the law only applied to those who are using the law.
All right, now. Say it.
I mean, that's what he said. Listen, I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm hearing. Now, we know that what things soever the law said is said to them who are under the law. We're not under the law.
Hallelujah.
So that's why he abolished it. Because we weren't to live under the law any longer.
Amen, amen.
And so if you said, well, you see, no, it made a point here, and that was to stop everybody's mouth, to shut all up. Y'all have seen. So it's to stop the mouth. God's law condemned man. David revealed that in Psalms 14:2-3. So when we read in Romans 3:10, you can see it. The law was given to show the real nature of sin. It was never to show who God is. It was never to save us. Man, when I think about the law, you know, it really blows my mind now. It's like, but the purpose of it was to guide us. So when Paul got converted, That came a new revelation. So when you read Romans, we'll read it. Romans 7, we did verse 7, but we need to probably read all the way to the 14th verse. Because when he got converted, that's when he got this new revelation about the law.
Mm-hmm.
How he was alive without the law. He was fine. But then once the law said, thou shalt not covet, he said, I died. Couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
The moment the law code came up, he was dead. Because he knew he had sin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was once alive without the law. But when the commandment was applied or the law, then he realized that's sin. So that revealed to him that it was sin, and he said, I died. The law was from God. Even though it was good, he said it was yet holy. See, the law was for a lot of people to use excuses to do it a different way. And I can give you a couple stories about a couple people, but I won't. I'm going to let Pastor read that. Romans 7, and read it through the 14th verse, if you will, Pat.
Okay, Pastor. You would like that read from the King James?
Yeah. But you can read it from the New Living.
All right. Amen. Romans 7. Beginning with the 7th verse from the New Living Translation. Well, then, I'm struggling that the law of God is sinful. Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I died. So I discovered that the law's command, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, the law itself is holy. Commands are holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. So the trouble is not with the law and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Amen, amen.
Amen, yeah. Listen, brothers and sisters, you have to really ask God for super revelation for that, because you're missing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the law purpose was to show us the real nature of sin. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
It really show up. So not until Paul got converted. And if you don't get converted, you're going to always say the law say this, the law say that. No, you can live without the law. You can live with faith and the grace of God.
Amen, amen.
Yeah. Because you want to do the right thing. See, somebody was just, I was talking to somebody the other day. You can get all the paper you want. You can get married. Well, I just want to do it because that, well, that's fine. But that ain't going to make you do right.
Amen.
Well, I got the paper. This is it. I don't care what that paper say. You got to have a conversion in your heart.
There it is.
And
there
Paul was saying, you know, your spirit has to be born again. You have to say, well, I'm going to do the right thing with or without paper.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to do the right thing if mama here or if mama not here. I'm going to do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says that the law was spiritual. He said, but I'm carnal, soul under sin.
Yes.
That was the thing he didn't want to do, but he allowed it. Now, why? Because the very thing he hated came into his being.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it was there because the law said, but removed the law, he was cool. He lived again. So when you get over into the chapter of the book of Romans, it said, therefore now is no condemnation to them that are walking after the Spirit. You don't walk after flesh. You're walking after the Spirit. So that's what you're free.
Yeah.
But if you keep beating yourself up, young lady said, well, I kissed this guy, and, oh, I just feel so ooky. I said, why? Because well, how you know you sinned? If you feel, because she but what she feels, she said, oh, I feel like I shouldn't have, well, but that didn't make you sin. What make you feel like you sin? See, that's what the law does. It makes you feel certain ways and think certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, deep down in your heart, if you've been born again, that stuff doesn't consume you. The law doesn't consume you like that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I just want you to hear what truth really is. So you may ask the question then, why then do we have the law? What purpose does the law serve?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the question is asked, because if you go to Galatians 3, we'll go over there. We're running a little over today, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to make this point clear about the law. Because, see, Christ abolished this law. This stuff to have you feeling guilty about stuff you didn't even need to feel guilty about. But the only reason you felt that way is because of the law. If it hadn't been written, you wouldn't even know it. How do you know it? But in Galatians, because the question was asked, over there, I think it was Galatians 3, because, you know, Paul was always dealing with them Galileans. But in Galatians 3, and that's where I want to be at. Yeah, I think it's Galatians 3. Because the question was asked in Galatians 3 and 19. And we can always back up so you can get clear understanding. But in verses 19, it says this. It reads like this. It says, wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of the transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Mm.
Now, the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is then the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if they had been a law given which could have given us life, very righteousness should have been by the law.
Amen. From the New Living Translation, why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. There is a conflict, then, between God's law and God's promises. Let me read that again. Is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scripture declares that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promises of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. See, faith was without the law.
Hmm.
Faith did not determine the law. Had nothing to do with it. So the law merely led us to we see Christ. That's what the law does. It directs you. You get it. But once you get in Christ, boom, that's all been abolished. It's gone. Because you know why? You're Christ now.
Yeah,
now
thank
for
you,
other,
Lord.
Other folks that want to attend church and this and the other, and no, they ain't finna do. They're not going to live according to the word of God. They may preach it, but they're not going to live according to it. I showed you that on yesterday. That's why Jesus said, they didn't live by it then, and they ain't going to live by it now. And the only way you're going to get the blessings of Abraham is to live by faith.
Yeah. Amen.
The law, one more thing, the law shut up faith. The faith couldn't work because the law was there. So he had to move it out of the way so faith could work. That's what Paul was saying. Man, I can't even believe in God, right? Because every time I try to believe in God, all the law does is tell me what I done did wrong or what I couldn't. But faith took me to a whole nother place. Because God blotted it all out. He took the blood of Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If a person tell you they don't need the blood of Christ, they living beyond who they think they are. That's why we need it for forgiveness. And the list doesn't stop there. It goes on and on and on. But let me say this, brothers and sisters. The law was added. I got to tell you, it was added. That's important. It was added because of the transgression. He added it for what? The verb added indicates that the law was added something. The law added something. So Paul gives the answer to the question because of what he has said in that first part of Galatians 3. See, all that was predicated on that. So then when you read Galatians 3, 6 through 8, Paul states that all of us, Old Testament, New Testament saints, as well as the New Testament saints, are saved by grace and not by the law. Even Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So the law was added to the Abrahamic covenant, Paul said, that the covenant and the promise may be Abraham attended to the law, and I want to kind of use one of these legal terms, but when you amend something, you adding something. That's what it was for the descent of Abraham. So his family could be led to Christ, led to God. He had to have a law. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be led. They would just be out there. So the law took them to Christ. That's what it did for us, because we're Abraham descendants. I hope all this makes sense to you all, people, because we couldn't have salvation. Abraham descendants couldn't have salvation. But Abraham's family was able to walk 430 years prior to. Why? We'll read Galatians 3:17, you'll see. God made this promise, and he kept it, according to the 18th verse.
Yeah.
We're gonna put a pin right there. Maybe we'll start back there. But it's just so much to understand about the law, but he abolished it.
Amen.
It allowed us to get to God. That's what the law did. It got you to God, but you had to recognize you had a sin problem, and without the law, you would never have to know you had a sin problem. You wouldn't know it. What's going to tell you? How you going to know that?
Amen.
See, remember, the law, the promise, not the law, but the promise was to Abraham and his children.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says that the scripture concluded. So the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many, but his descendants. Rather, it says to the child, or if I say children, to his. So so we'll get into that tomorrow. I don't want to, because if I do it right now, I know we're going to be on here a little longer, a whole lot longer. And I want to give you all the chance. Anybody had anything they want to make, any comments, press one, and we'll go from there.
And, Pastor, I would like to read Galatians.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. Oh, well, that's all right.
Okay.
Go ahead. They hung up. Go ahead, Pastor.
They hung up. Oh, okay. I'd like to read Galatians 3:23-27. It kind of brings it out, what you were just saying. It says, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, till the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Amen. That,
amen.
To me, just brought that out, just what you were saying, Pastor. And I'll be happy to read it again tomorrow. Praise God.
Yeah. See, that's what I was saying. But there's a couple other things that I like to point out, but we're going to leave it right there till tomorrow. Thank you so much, Pastor, for bringing that out. But as I said before, listen, brothers and sisters, go online and listen and let the Spirit, you start meditating on this word. You'll be surprised what God's going to open up. So when we come back together, somebody may have something different.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. See, before, I got to say it because it's been in me. Before you had the law, you were just naked. That's how the law, mm-hmm. it just kept you naked. It showed you your nakedness. But once you got Christ, that clothes you. That brought you to a whole nother place. Me, oh, yeah, I'm all right now. Because you're mm-hmm. in Christ.
Yeah.
That became your protection. That's what took care of you. Before, the law was like a, it just guided you, but it couldn't take care of you. It couldn't give you salvation. There were so many things. Let me hush. There's so many things the law couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when God abolished it, let it stay abolished. Don't you be trying to make it right and you try to justify. You can't justify the law. The law is what the law is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we need grace. Because if the law mm-hmm. said you were in that light, and you were in that light, that was the law.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah.
The young people say, period. That was period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But grace don't say period. The grace mm-hmm. says, but in Christ. But God.
Ooh.
But Christ.
Hallelujah.
He don't say period, but Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
See, but the but comes after the period now. You getting it?
Mm-hmm.
But we've been baptized in Christ's name now. We've been clothed in Christ. We've been resurrected
mm-hmm.
with Christ now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah.
So therefore, we are heirs to the promises of God. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. And all the others, I appreciate you. And sorry I didn't get to you fast enough, whoever that was. But God bless.